Welcome everyone to the Sports Review here on Planet FM, and it's great to be back. It's been a long time, and I have to say the new studios are wonderful, great studios. Probably needs more of a facial picture of me. No, they don't need to do that. But really looking forward, great to be back on air. It has been a while, but it's fantastic, and I'm really looking forward to the first show back. There might be a few teething issues as the show goes on. You know, I've got new technology to stuff up, but anyway. First of all, I want to give a shout out to a man that's helping me out today. Before I get to Stephen Harris, as our sponsor, who's covering the next few weeks for us, is Clive Green from Green Security. They are a family-owned business that has been around for 35 years within the Mount Albert-Avondale area. They're brilliant. They do anything from security guards to monitoring to any alarm installations. Their number is 09 7299. Their email is service@greensecurity.co.nz. For all your security needs, pick Green Security, making a safer place for the community to live in. Wow, it's great to be back, and of course we're going to start off with a bit of Super Rugby. No AJ today, but I have a very worthy person coming on. I've met him a year ago and had a lot of great chats. Now, well, this will be one of our shorter chats because we're live on air, but he's always great to have a chat to about rugby. He's got a brilliant rugby brain, and he's involved an organisation called New Zealand Sports Radio. You see him around the grounds interviewing at club rugby games. Please welcome to the show my good friend Stephen Harris. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Eamon, and good afternoon to all your listeners on Planet FM. Privilege and a pleasure to be on board, and I've got to say, it's a hard act to follow coming off the bench for the esteemed Alan Whetton as well.
Yeah, well, there's certain things when you get it. He texts me, and of course, I'll be definitely having a word to old AJ, and probably would be over some amber liquid or something. But anyway, we might as well rip into it. Stephen, wow, great weekend of Super Rugby. Upsets, controversial decisions. But we started off on Friday with the Chiefs versus the Highlanders. Now, the score there was 52-28. Valiant performance by the Highlanders, but the Chiefs prove how good they are. Damien McKenzie, Daniel Rona, really good. Stevenson, Nariwa, Takiaho, but really good performances from the Highlanders, from the likes of Hugh Renton, Thomas Umanga Jensen. Some of your thoughts on that game, Stephen?
Yeah, listen, an improved performance from the Highlanders. Listen, I don't think you could ever question their effort. You can see the effort that's on board, and I'm sure we'll touch on some of their players who are putting that effort in, but you know what it comes down to at the end of the day. You're just coming up against the Chiefs team that's just in a hot streak of form and can pretty much punish you from anywhere on the paddock. Listen, I thought the Highlanders actually started the game with some very, very good intent, but I think when you are playing a team with a hot streak, I think you've got to put a bit of scoreboard pressure on a team like the Chiefs and make them chase the game. But unfortunately, whenever they made a mistake, they were punished.
Yeah, I believe, you know, like, you have a look, and as we said, they're the hottest thing in rugby at the moment. They're the form team. They are just, I really cannot see them getting beaten in this round robin. I can actually see them being the finalists this year but they're playing a great style of rugby. Damien McKenzie, he's just on fire. Remember what you said to me at the beginning of Super Rugby? He'll be the first five for the All Blacks, and I think we didn't put money on it. Well, you'll probably tell me later if we did, but I have to say that, you know, he's proven it. He's proven on the cutter. It's just, they're just so well organised and well coached. So, you know, I can't see anyone knocking them off, and I'm being straight to the point, Stephen, but, you know, really clinical. They're just so clinical. Now, probably what I also looked at, I know we were both out at club rugby, but I was able to record this match. Fiji and Druna 27, the Hurricanes 24. None of us saw it coming, but, oh, my goodness, what a great game of rugby, and what a great crowd it was in Suva for that match.
Oh, got the best fans running around at the minute. It's not anybody who's been up to Fiji, and I'm fortunate, I've been up there half a dozen times. You do go into that relaxed holiday mode, and it's extremely hot, and it really does sip and take a lot out of you. And if you're not at 100%, or you come up with a game plan to actually stifle the Fijian Drua, and you leave it loose and you leave the door open, you will get punished by these guys because, man, if you give them half an opportunity, once again, they're another team that can score tries anywhere on the paddock and everybody seems to run at the same speed they're on.
They do, and the biggest thing is, it's like, I feel that you're right on what you're saying. It is so relaxing up there, but it's, and they're going to catch a number of teams. They're going to be in the top eight, no doubt about it, and I'm picking them to make the playoffs this year. Also believe that with their influence is going to carry to the Fijian national team, who I think could be a shock quarterfinalist at this year's World Cup, but we can talk about that another time. But really great, and it was really impressive. Congratulations to Julian Savia. He is equal top try scorer in Super Rugby history, so great stuff for the Bus, and he's really just come into a bit of form. But you know, you would not want to go up to Fiji if you're any side. You'd have some trepidation there.
Oh, very much so. Listen, really important, if you think back a week ago when the Blues played up there, they just kept it tight and they took the Fiji and drew it into a forward battle. I just thought the Hurricanes at key moments were just guilty of kicking ball away. And where we have seen a real improvement with the Fijian Drua over a couple of seasons, it's just in and around their set piece. I thought their set piece scrum was very, very good, very strong. And they managed to negate a very good loose forward trio of Adi Savia, also Duplessis Kariffi and Devin Flanders. But, you know, once again, I think you've got to go up there with a style of game which takes a lot of the loose play out of the game, and unfortunately for the Hurricanes, and you know, once again, you don't want to. There's a lot of talk about referees at the moment and both the oval ball codes, but you know, once again, sometimes the official it might come down to which way their calls go, and but that's really about, you know, adapting to that official at the end of the day. But I've got to say, that was a very deserved win for the locals.
Absolutely, and then we move on to the other Saturday game. We had two games here in New Zealand. The Crusaders 48, the Force 13. Will Jordan is back, and it was great to see him on the field. But really impressed with the Crusaders, and especially around that set piece. Brady McAllister got a hat-trick, but their set pieces were so good, and they were so clinical. Probably their best performance in the set pieces this season.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think they would have been a little stung from the week before. I'm saying that I thought their set piece was pretty good against the Chiefs the previous week, and it was just really about nailing the opportunities. They're not quite the finished article at the moment, but when you can sort of start getting a few guys like the likes of Will Jordan back into the side, boy, oh boy, you know, come the pointy end of the season, they will be there or thereabouts. Like you say, set piece very good. Scott Barrett, I thought, was very physical, very good, and really and truthfully, they just didn't give this Force team any sort of opportunity to get in the game. In fact, there was very little go forward from the Force. Good line speed, I've got to say, from the Crusaders as well. So, boy, they're a dangerous beast heading into these last four or five rounds or so.
Oh, you do not write them out. I'm picking the Chiefs Crusaders final, and you know, they've been the only side that's really rattled the Chiefs this season, Stephen. Then we go to the game at Eden Park on Saturday. Wow, it was a topsy turvy game. The Blues 31, Moana Pacifica 30. The Blues got off to a flyer. They were ahead 17-3. Akira Ione, he's finally back in the Blues lineup, but really there's some, you know, this Moana Pacifica team, it's had a lot of criticism over the last couple of weeks because of their performances, and there's been a lot of critics saying, you know, they need to be a lot more stronger, but fantastic display by them. This guy Nawa out on the wing, God, he's an excitement machine, Stephen.
Oh, absolutely. The thing about it, he's been around for a few seasons as well. He was originally picked up by the Highlanders about three or four seasons ago. So I was really surprised that they didn't invest more in him. Of course, he plays as NPC for Tasman in the Bunnings. So we've seen this potential, but he just gives you so much go forward. But I was really impressed with the way Christian Liliuofano just manoeuvred this team around. Their set piece was pretty good. And at 17-3, down, you know, leading with about 9-10 minutes in the half time, you could have been forgiven if it was going to be another sort of ho-hum finish. But, you know, once again, two quick tries just before half time put them well and truly in the fights. But boy, there was some, I thought there was an impressive performance from Solomoni Funaki, who was the skipper of the side. On a sort of damp night, I actually thought he might have actually overshadowed Dalton Papali in this particular game. You know, that's not to say there are few individuals I thought played well in the Blues. You mentioned Ioane. I thought Cameron Suafua was very good, but I thought one area where the Blues may have to look long and hard is once again just in the halves as well. Harry Plummer.
Oh yeah.
Just had what you could only describe as an off night. But absolutely, you know, when you've
shocking.
Been playing, yeah, when you've been playing second five all season, you know, you've really got to question where his career is actually going. Is he a first five that actually thinks he's a second five, or is he actually a first five? Because probably based on what you saw on Saturday night, I can probably see either Perifetto or Bowden Barrett being rushed back into that 10 jersey for their challenge this Saturday night.
I would say that right now, Steve, and of course some of the Australian results: Waratahs 32, Reds 24, Brumbies hold that second place with a 33-26 victory over the Melbourne Rebels. The game of the week next week will be on Saturday in Christchurch, Crusaders versus Blues. I just can't see the Blues beating the Crusaders at the moment, Stephen.
No, exactly. You know, there's a little bit of a, you just suspect there's just a little bit of a drop-off from the way that they actually started the season. To be honest, I can't quite put my finger on it, because, you know, they've pretty much got all the same personnel, but I think one of the issues for this Blues team is just really in and around their tactics. We've seen a lot of kicking between the red zone, and, you know, obviously a few weeks ago it was asked of Bowden Barrett, why are you kicking so much? Oh, this is a tactic that we've actually got in mind. And once again, we saw more of the same from Plummer. So for me, I don't quite get it. I've been around this game for a very long time. But listen, the only way to put pressure on another team is hold on the ball. Put the ball in the air, and that's pretty much a 50-50 play in my book.
Absolutely. Well, Stephen, thank you so much for coming on here. I've really enjoyed your input today, and hopefully we get to do it a bit more this year. Hopefully we've got a number of things planned this year for this show. So, Stephen, thank you very, very much. You have a good rest of the afternoon. Thanks for coming on for the great AJ. And we'll catch up for a coffee very soon. Thank you very much, Stephen. Yep. Cheers.
Sounds good, and go Eden.
Good bad. That was Stephen Harris. So we're going to play a bit of music, and then we're going to get to Frank Endicott.
To see them reach for you, and now my heart confesses it still wants you to, and I'm so ashamed of them all for loving you. So ashamed of my eyes, 'cause they still cry for you after they both watch my hands wave goodbye to you. And I've told them time and time again that this will never do. And I've told them laugh at teardrops. I'm so ashamed of my arms for missing you. Last night I woke up just in time to feel them reach for you. And now my heart.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here on Planet FM. We've had a great weekend of NRL. It's the Magic Round in Brisbane, and I tell you something, The NRL has never been as close as I've seen it before. Oh, upsets, games you're not picking. And here to speak to us is my good mate, and if you watched this, the series on Sky with Monty Beefham, this man was on it, Happy Frank, Frank Endicott, and he's one of the best, one of the nicest guys in rugby league, and he's one of the nicest people you can actually meet personally. Good afternoon, Frank. Welcome back. It's been a while, but it's great to have you back.
Yeah, how are you, Amon? Yeah, thanks for the introduction, mate. You flatter me.
Well, I try my best because, I want to keep you on, Frank. I want to make sure that you're there. so it's much cruel. And when you're in Auckland, I've got to, take you out to lunch and everything. But first of all, what a fan. I've never seen the NRL so tight at this time and so close. While there are some obvious standouts, that the race for the playoffs is looking very, very tight. So we're going to start off. Obviously, we start off with the New Zealand Warriors. The Panthers 18, the Warriors 4, a number of controversial decisions, a number of mistakes from both sides, but really Panthers proved how good they are, Frank. And, there's a player which we don't get mentioned a lot is Dylan Edwards. I felt he was outstanding for the Panthers.
Yeah, so did I. In fact, when we were watching that game with the people here at my house, when we were watching it, I actually said that I believe he's the most underrated player in the NRL. I think pound for pound, he's the best player in the NRL. He is dynamic every week, never plays a bad one. He's won so many and saved Penrith so many times. It's just a pity there's so many good fullbacks around. Otherwise, he'd be playing in State of Origin.
I'd have to agree with you there, Frank. I think he's been outstanding. He is an underrated player. I sort of wish we could find a bit of Kiwi in him so he could play for the Kiwis.
I would delve into that, but I don't think he is.
Oh, damn it. But, he's been fantastic. Wayne Egan, for the Warriors has been impressive. So, it is a much-improved Warriors, but, we say about all the controversial decisions. Frank, you've coached here. You've been on the back of some real tough decisions. I believe it's, the Warriors just need to move on and just move on to the Bulldogs next week and forget about what's happened last week.
Oh, yeah, I agree 100%. I thought it was a bit uncalled for, coming out saying they were cheating and all the rest. The referee, I didn't think it was that bad, to be honest. He made a couple of blues there, but he didn't make as many as the players on the field.
No.
I'd be, instead of worrying about the decisions, I'd be more worried about the two sin bins playing that 40 minutes there with 12 men. So, with 12 men. And that's what I'd be working on their discipline, because it needs to improve. I think their effort's fantastic. I actually enjoy watching the Warriors a lot more this year than I have over the past couple. They're competing in every game, but they've had three losses in a row now. And at the end of the day, it's got to come into results. But looking at it, they've got Bulldogs next week. They can win that. I wouldn't dot it down as a certainty, but they can win that. Then they have the bye to freshen up, and then they come in against the Broncos. Now, this is where the Warriors normally go good. Absolutely state of origin time, and you guarantee the Broncos are going to have a half dozen of their big guns out. So, that's the time to get them. That's the time to really, after the bye, get this team close together, work on them, on their combinations, and start, making a run from that time on, because they've got the Broncos, Dolphins and Raiders, and they're all winnable games.
Absolutely. Well, looking at some of the results over the weekend, like the couple of the Friday games, like the Raiders 34, the Bulldogs 30, Jared Croker, fantastic. But the Broncos 32, Manly 6. And that man, Reece Walsh, who I think, if he's not in the Queensland State of Origin squad, there's something wrong. But it's their forwards. It's like the Carrigans, the Payne Hasses. It's guys like, ex St Thomas's of Canterbury student, Jordan Reiki from Hornby and Christchurch. He really, his defence is amazing.
Oh, they have. In fact, they've got a couple of Christchurch players on that team. But if you have a look at the Broncos team, they've got very, very good forwards, as you say. But you look at the speed they got on the backs, and their two centres I love, They've got a very well recruited, well balanced team, and that's the reason they're up there. And they're not getting too many injuries. And any team that doesn't get injuries, they're going to be there at the end. And they're looking good. They're looking good.
Yeah, they're looking real good. Well, some of the other games Saturday. Well, the Dolphins 36, the Sharks 16, but the name Valence Tefare will be on everyone's lips. But you know, I felt two tries, but really, and then there were a couple of Kiwi guys who I felt really played well. One of them being Jeremy Marshall-King, who I think is playing the best NRL he's played in his career. And Cody Nikorima is really working well into that Dolphin system.
Another Christchurch boy, eh? Yeah. Look, both those players really got the Dolphins going the other day. I think Marshall King I think he's been there at hooker. He's been their most consistent player all year. I think he's really good. He's really matured since he's not coming off the bench. He's starting every week, and Wayne Bennett's got the confidence in him, and the best is coming out of him. He's a threat from dummy half, but you know, I just couldn't pick the result of that game before the game. And when I saw the end result, 36-16 against the Sharks, I thought, here we go. There's going to be a few upsets this weekend. And sure enough, there was.
There certainly was. And, of course, then we go to the Rabbitohs 28, the Storm 12, and, of course, the Latrell and Cody show. But Latrell Mitchell and Cody Walker, they were just fantastic. But they've got a great forward pack in Cam Murray. They've got Cook and Hooker. So, you know, to me, they're really proving to be one of the real contenders for this competition are the Rabbitohs.
Well, they were the most impressive team in the weekend again, and you're right. I think they're the number one at the moment to go through to that grand final. If you had to pick a team to make the grand final as we're going now, barring injuries, I would say that they're going to definitely be there. And it's good for rugby league because they're an old established club that people love in Sydney. And if they're in there, you'll get a big crowd. You'll get a huge crowd.
They certainly will, and they're huge support, especially around the Redfern area. Well, just a couple of other results. Tigers, another win, 18-16 over the Dragons. You know, Papa Alihi and Luke Brooks and Coruscant were fantastic. The Cowboys over the Roosters, and nobody saw this coming, but I tell you what, shocking weather, but the difference was, and I believe, was the kicking game of Chad Townsend. He played to those conditions. That kicking game was fantastic by the Cowboys.
Yeah, well, this game hurt my bank account quite a bit, to be honest. and the Cowboys deserved their win, so they deserved it. And you're right about Townsend. He instigated that win. You know, he pushed them around the park. Kicking game was great. At the end of the day, they adapted to the terrible conditions a lot better than the Roosters. I thought the Roosters just found it in the conditions, and that rain came at the wrong time for the Roosters. It's easy enough to say, but I would say if that rain didn't come, I believe the Roosters would have won that game. But the Cowboys, they just adapted to it, and they took their win, and good on them.
And I have to say, you know, it was shocking weather, but they took the conditions, and you know that gives Todd Payton a lot more. He'll be a lot more happy. And of course, one of the other games we looked at, the Titans 26, the Eels 24. This turned out to be a real cracker of a game because the Titans got off to a fly, and of course, as they said, the old veteran, the wily veteran, and Kieran Foran, isn't it great? Isn't he playing some great football at the moment, Frank?
Well, he is, and that's why they bought him, you know, for his experience and to help the younger ones out in the Titans squad, and he's doing just that. But those two tries he scored, I mean, really, in all honesty, he should have had three. But the winger took the guy on, instead of passing inside to him, Foran would have scored under the bar and made it three. He put the kick over the top, and he was just lucky the bounce went his way and he scored anyway. Because if he hadn't scored, that would have been a shocker.
Oh yeah, and of course, it was just that. But he just looked so comfortable there, and you know, like I have to say that you can see Manly are actually really missing him. Daly Cherry Evans is missing him, so yeah. So it's actually he's really improved that. He's really improved that Titans, and that's probably been the buy of the season, really, for them. Anyway, getting to next week, Frank, well, there's some couple of good games, Storm versus Broncos. The Warriors have got the Bulldogs, which I'm hoping that the Warriors win. Panthers, Roosters, that'll be a cracking game. Rabbitohs, West Tigers, Cowboys, Dragons, Raiders, Eels, Knights, Titans, and the Sea Eagles versus the Sharks. Well, I think really the game of the round is going to be that Panthers Roosters game. How do you see that one going?
Well, that's going to be a beauty to start the. Is that the Thursday or the Friday?
I believe that one is definitely on the Friday at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be a beauty. Being at home, I'll lean towards the Panthers, but I don't think there's going to be a lot in it. I'd go Panthers unders. They're due to really hit their straps. I mean, you can see it. It's there. You know, they're playing well. Don't worry about that. They're playing well. They don't look the same team as the last 2 years, but they've still got the team there to go on and make that grand final again. So, you know, don't count them out. That's a big game, and the Roosters are going to have to play well to win it.
They definitely will, and I think there's going to be, of course, the Storm Broncos. That'll be an interesting one. I just think the Broncos.
Oh yeah.
I think may just have the edge, but lists that we'll all find out next week. Well, Frank, first of all, it's always a pleasure to have you on here. It's been a while, and it's great that you come on the show and you give time to me. And I really hope the rest of your week goes well. I hope your trotter's going well. Did he win the other night?
Yes, she won again, mate. She's won 13 in a row now, and she's going for the final next Friday night. Not this Friday, the one after in Auckland.
Will you be up, Frank? 14.
Yes, 100%.
Well, I might get a couple of my mates at Alexandra Parks to sneak in, and I'll try and have a quick beer with him and put money on an outsider, because your horse is probably the favourite. Anyway, Frank... Thank you so much, and have a great rest of the week, and good luck for Friday.
Thanks very much, Avon. You have a great day, mate.
Thank you so much. That was Frank Endicott. Well, always good to have Happy Frank on here. He's such a good bloke. Well, we're just going to get on to a bit of music. Next up, we're going to have former All-Whites Noel Barclay. We're going to talk a bit of Phoenix and EPL. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here on Planet FM. You know, sorry, a bit croaky, but just had a nice bit of tea, so just to keep my vocal cords going, so that none of you have fallen asleep. Anyway, wow, what a weekend it's been of EPL football, some A-League as well too. And here to join us, one of the real good blokes I would say, in football, former All White, Noel Barkley, a real great bloke, and it's always a pleasure to have him on. But we may not be as happy as we were due to a certain result this morning. Good afternoon, Noel. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well, Edmund, and thanks for inviting me on. Look, it's been a long morning. Sort of got up and watched a bit of the Newcastle Arsenal game, and that was positive because, of course, Newcastle sort of bottom points was good. Always thought we'd Man United would struggle at West Ham. We always have, and of course, they're desperate for points. And it was lethargic. Third away game. Now I got 1.9 and an absolute howler of a goalkeeping mistake to lose a game, which, to be honest, a draw would have been just fine. A bit off, but if you're a Liverpool supporter, you've now got a bit of skin in the game, and who knows? They win all the games, and we don't sort of win three out of four. It's all on, which would be a real disappointment into what's been a good rebuilding year for United.
Well, yeah, it would be, actually, because they've sort of... I would just say this right now, Noel. Manchester United, it's sort of like they've imploded a bit. You know, when we look after the League Cup, they've just sort of, like, dropped off form a bit. And, of course, when we look at that race for the Champions League place, you can't rule out Brighton either, Noel.
No, they're on the fringes. I think the biggest problem this time around is that a lot of those players obviously had a World Cup in the middle of this year. So Man United by 57th game this morning, Varane and Martinez suspended, lost Ronaldo, didn't really replace him, so Martial injured. So you just have lots of key players not available, and now is the time we actually need a bit of quality coming off the bench. And you know, we Sancho, he's not at it really, and Martial, he's just been pretty average, missed a couple of good chances today. And so yeah, it's all about personnel, but even the midfield looks a little bit, you know, Eriksen and Casemiro, who I love, he got well bossed today in that game, and Eriksen really should have come off a bit earlier. But hey, you know, we've got three home games, time to put it right. Again, unfortunately, it looks like Arsenal City going to battle it out, but you know, I think City got points and a game in hand now, so incredibly difficult to beat. But they got stuff on this week, you know, they got Real Madrid in Madrid as well, so that'll be an interesting one.
Yeah, so just going through some of the results, Manchester City 2, Leeds 1, obviously a match where something different happened. Erling Haaland didn't score, but Leeds really in a real relegation battle. Spurs 1, Crystal Palace 0. Okay, they're fairly safe. Spurs, I cannot see getting European football. They're still in the hunt for possibly a Europa Conference League place. Chelsea 3, Bournemouth 1. Well, a bit of smiles at Chelsea, but, and of course, Wolves 1, Aston Villa 0, Liverpool 1, Brentford 0. Now, unfortunately, I've got texts in the last 48 hours either from Liverpool fans or West Ham fans, so it has been quite a challenging weekend where I haven't, you know, I've had to keep my cool around there, but it's looking like the top four, the top places for Europe, that's just looking tight. But I believe the six that are there, you're looking at, I believe that we're looking at City. I just can't see them losing, but Arsenal are still in the fight. I can see Newcastle being safe, but the fourth place, I just don't know. But I believe that we might just get there from Manchester United perspectives. But definitely we'll be talking Brighton and Liverpool in those European places. But the relegation, well, Southampton,
looks tough.
they're gone. I think Nottingham Forest, I think, will struggle, but they've got Southampton this week. Everton, still a few issues there. You've got Leeds. You know, Leicester, there's still that issues with relegation there.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Southampton, I agree, gone. If Forest can beat them tomorrow, for us, that's that'll help immensely. It's going to be two out of the three, and that is Forest, Everton, and Leeds. And if you have a look at the games that they've got, they're just all really tough. And I think that win tomorrow for Forest might get them through. I wouldn't be unhappy about Leeds going down. I mean, they've just mucked around with how many managers have they had this year? About four. Mm. They're rudderless. So bit of a battle. And Everton too. They've got tough games. So there's going to have to be some miraculous results, as there often is in the last few games of the season. And it can be just as exciting down the bottom as it is at the top. But I think we'll get to fourth. FA Cup final, and who knows? Who knows what's going to happen there? Fourth would be great. No hassles at all.
No hassles at all. Of course, Leeds now with Big Sam Allardyce. He's better than Guardiola and he's better than Klopp, according to him. I tell you something, Leeds is the only job which I haven't seen Anthony Hudson's name linked to.
Yeah, well, if they get Big Sam, you know that they're scraping the barrel, so Anthony might be a couple of pegs back beneath him. I mean, you know, they want £500,000 a week for 4 weeks and then £2.5 million bonus if he keeps them up. So he's pretty pumped up. And I mean, 2-1 sounds, you know, quite good for them yesterday, but they got battered. Haaland actually missed about four that he would normally tuck away, and he should have taken the penalty where I let Gundogan go for his hat-trick. He missed the penalty. So, yeah, look, you know, that they were a bit nervy, but too good. And I think they're just going to run out.
I think so too. In Scotland, well, Celtic has virtually wrapped up the Scottish Premier League on a verge of a triple. And Postecoglou, well, I'm going to have to say there is always rumours about Ange possibly going to the Premier League. But, you know, from what I can see, I think I believe he's on quite a good, decent wicket at Celtic.
Yeah, and I saw a bit of chatter about Spurs. I think their key man is Javi Alonso, but they're going to have to pay a bit of money. Why would you leave Celtic? You know, they love him. 50,000 people every game. You've got Champions League football guaranteed. They're beating Rangers just about every time now in the big games. So, yeah, I don't see any reason for leaving. Surely they can pay him enough to make him happy and keep him to stay.
Oh, I think they will, because he's just really turned around that club. Okay, we go to the A-League playoffs, and of course, Adelaide 2, the Phoenix 0, Craig Goodwin 2 goals. You know, the end of Ufuai Tale, but, you know, he's really, I believe he's actually, for the Phoenix this year, it's a season of what could have been, but Tale really has left the Phoenix in a good place.
Yeah, I'm a little bit 50-50 on that, to be honest. They love him down there, and you don't say anything against him, otherwise you get your head bitten off. But they really went through that period. They went four games lost and in a draw. They only really needed another couple of wins, and they had home games there, which they threw away, and that would have put them in third or fourth spots, home semi-final, even could have got up to second.
Yeah.
But their form just completely dropped away. I mean, I look at the Phoenix team and I go, who can get in, who in the team can get into the any of the top two teams? And I mean, Ollie Sale and Zavanda, they're probably the only two, maybe Jovicovic. But yeah, I just think they're still short of quality. And players like Seth and stuff like that were supposed to be world beaters really didn't deliver consistently. So they got a challenge because they're losing some players, and they're going to have to get some good imports in. Ball looks like he's finished. Costa looks like he's, you know, on the back end.
Yeah.
So, it's got a tough job ahead.
And, of course, you've got Sale. Ollie Sale's going over to Perth. Clayton Lewis, who I think who has been a real good midfielder for them, he's going over to MacArthur Rams. You know, they've got to replace some players, and who they get, you know, it's going to be interesting to see who they get, because, you know, Costa Barbarousis, you know, he I have to say he's yesterday's player.
Then I think, I mean, if this Auckland franchise thing happens, it's happening next year. You know, they're going to be competing for the same players. So it's, you know, I mean, there's just not that many players to go around. So, it's going to be a bit of a challenge, especially those ones that are coming off contract, or those players attending the National League that can make the step up. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that turns out.
It certainly will. Well, Noel, I have to say it's always great talking to you on a day where, unfortunately, I've received another text from one of my West Ham mates, but I'm just ignoring him. Hopefully we have a better week, and hopefully our team can get a good win over the weekend, and we can talk about it next week.
Sounds good, Ian. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. That was former All White Noel Barkley. Always great to have him on the show. Such a good bloke and so knowledgeable on football. Well, we're going to put a bit of music on. Next up, we've got the busiest man in New Zealand broadcasting, Mark Watson, up next. So we'll get a bit of music on. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review. Geez, I tell you what, we are absolutely flying today. It's going perfect, apart from the guy behind the mic, but it's absolutely fantastic. Well, next up is probably the busiest man in the broadcasting world in New Zealand. If you heard his call at the Māori Cup on Sky, he was fantastic. Really a great broadcaster, great bloke, and I always enjoy having him on because he calls it the way he sees it, and you know, just an all round good bloke. The legendary Mark Watson. How are you, Mr. Legend Mark Watson?
Yeah, very flattering. I'm very good, Eamon. How are you, buddy? You staying out of trouble? Good to have you back on air, mate.
Well, it's good to be back on air. As you probably realise, I had a few accidents, breaking bones and etc. So, you know, it's actually been you know, great to be back on air. Obviously, still a bit of nervous excitement, as you do when you're back on air, but it's always great to chat to you, and hopefully we can get you and Sean back sometime soon to talk about a bit of sports. And I'm getting my words mixed up, and we might as well get into it. Well, I'm going to have to say this right now, Mark. The best team in Super Rugby is the Chiefs by a country mile.
Yeah, look, I think at the moment, I think you're right. I still think when it's all said and done, I think the Crusaders will still win this comp. I still saw enough out of that Crusaders team against the Chiefs to suggest that they still have the ability to win this, but I think they're the two teams, and I say that because you're going to have Will Jordan back. I think you've got a number of players coming back from injury. I think Ethan Blackadder would have made a real difference when the two teams did meet, but they've got a guy, Scott Hansen, in the background who is going to be part of the All Black coaching setup next year under Scott Robertson. Now, he was the guy that, when the Blues beat the Crusaders last year, looked at and thought, we could end up playing these guys in the final. It's been 8 weeks coming up and formulating the way of beating the Blues, and we know how badly the Crusaders beat the Blues last year in that Super Rugby final. And I've just got a sneaking feeling it might be a similar type scenario. But I tell you what, we'd be in a bit of trouble if we didn't have a really, really good Chiefs team, because I haven't seen enough out of the Blues. I think the Hurricanes are the team of the future, but I think they're 2 or 3 years away. And clearly, I think the Highlanders are probably just suffering in regards to depth. And you wonder whether part of that is the fact that the establishment of Moana Pacifica, there are just not enough players to go around now. And unfortunately, it's the Highlanders who seem to be the ones that are suffering because of it. So, yeah, look, Chiefs brilliant at the moment, absolutely brilliant. And, boy, pretty hard to look past the likes of Sean Stevenson and Narewa. They just seem to be, yeah, producing talent. And then Sam Kane, congratulations to him. I mean, he's probably playing his best rugby. You know, is he finally fulfilling his potential? Some will say that, you know, he's been shown his potential for a long time, but we've always just been a bit too hard on him. And there might be some merit in that. And I think Sam Kane's biggest problem in the All Black jersey is that he came in after Richie McCaw. And it's a bit like the guy that comes into football to replace Sir Alex Ferguson, which was Moyes, I think, at the time. You never want to be the first guy when you've got to come in and replace an absolute icon or a legend in any sort of sport, because you're never going to be able to live up to that expectation. And you're always going to fail in any comparison, aren't you? So, yeah. Chiefs Crusaders is where I go. And, I still think the Crusaders will get it done.
You know what, I wouldn't put that past the Crusaders, because, you know, they're a dangerous proposition if they're in that, around that playoff time. I'm picking a Chiefs Crusaders final like yourself, Mark. But, yeah, really concerning, there are some real concerns around that Highlanders, you know. And you're right in what you're saying. It's great to have Moana Pacifica there. Have we really got the depth within New Zealand rugby? Because a lot of our second tier players beneath that are either coming from club rugby. Now, the better club rugby players and provincial players are either in Sydney playing Shoots Shield, or they're either in America playing Major League Rugby.
Yeah, look, and the thing with Moana Pacifica is, and I was having this conversation yesterday with some colleagues, and it's like, well, you know, part of the, what is it here? What's it for? Is it to really try and develop the game, grow the game, build depth for the Pacific Island community, and, you know, bring a sort of sense of nationalism or regionalism to the team? And that's sort of like, I guess, the spin that's come from within SANZA. But they also, part of it was using, you know, tapping into the talent that the islands are producing, but it's just too big a step up. You can't have young men playing rugby in Samoa, Tonga, and then somehow expecting them to be able to handle Super Rugby level. And I can't see the performances of Moana Pacifica being necessarily any better next year than what they have been this year or the years following, unless some serious financial resources put in to keep their marquee players there. I mean, you look at Jonah Moore, the number 7, what a player he is. You look at Levi Amor, centre. Now, it's only a matter of time before they're picked up by New Zealand franchises, and they'll go because the money will be there, and it'll be a stepping stone then to even greater opportunity, either whether it be in an All Black jersey or whether it be then in Japan or in Europe. And so I just wonder whether Moana Pacifica would be better suited at an NPC level and bringing them into NPC rather than actually having them as part of Super Rugby. And because, you know, technically it's a 6 New Zealand franchise, and you know, we don't have the depth for 6 New Zealand franchises. And, you know, we'll end up like Australia. I mean, Australia should only have 3. It should just be New South Wales, Queensland and the Brumbies. And so it's all very well that we've got these teams, and it looks like this all, look, we've got 12 teams and look how great it is, but the reality is there's sort of 4 or 5 good sides and everybody else is crap, and I'm not sure that it's doing anyone anything particularly good at the moment. I think the PR and the and Feel Good Factor. Well, I think that was a story that was told last year, and you can only tell a story once.
Absolutely, I totally agree with you there, Mark. Well, we'll talk a bit of football. Well, the EPL is hotting up. The advantage is with Manchester City. Arsenal had a good win away at Newcastle, but Liverpool really making a comeback. My Manchester United, well, I'm a very concerned. For me as a Manchester United fan, nothing worse than Manchester City winning and then being fifth place and being beaten by your Liverpool. But I have to say, Liverpool are playing some good football.
Yeah, and look, what you've just said is potentially the narrative on the final day of the EPL, because Manchester United will play Manchester City, and it'll be a final for Man City. If they win that, you'll suggest that they'll win the league. And probably end up winning the treble, I would have thought. I think they'll win the FA Cup, and I think they'll win Champions League as well. And then, yeah, and the misery will also be rubbed in, as long as Liverpool keep winning, by handing over fourth place to Liverpool. And so they'll then end up being beaten by Liverpool 7-0 in the regular season, in a game that'll always go down in history for Liverpool fans, and will always be the game that they'll mention to Manchester United fans, which will probably hurt them the most.
Yes.
But look, that's what makes the English Premier League so great. And yes, okay, I can sit here and go, you know, and laugh and smile that, you know, all this misery is going to be sort of cast upon Manchester United. But I also know that, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, it can very easily go the other way. Even next season, it could go the other way. We've just been sort of talking about, I think, some of the problems that are wrong with Super Rugby. Well, this is what is so intriguing about the English Premier League, just the multiple narratives that are constantly support that sport. You've got managers who are animated. You've got these great rivalries. You've got fans that are just over the top. I mean, look, there's media coverage around Liverpool booing the national anthem during the King's coronation. Now, whether you agree with it or not, there's another story associated with it. There's another thing people are now talking about. It's in the forefront of people's mind. You know, the focus will go off that. It'll move on to the next game. It'll move on to the transfer window and the brilliance of the football on the field. At the other end, you've clearly got this wonderful race to stay up in the Premier League, not to be relegated, and it's looking very much like, will Southampton all go? Will it be Everton? Will it be Nottingham Forest? Will it be Leeds? Who would have thought Leicester City, who won the title back in 2016, potentially could end up getting relegated? And and for all of those reasons, it's just so damn intriguing. The interest is not just in your own team, but the interest is in, you know, what's happening elsewhere. I just can't say that with New Zealand rugby at the moment. Or Super Rugby, there is just nothing. Until New Zealand rugby fans get their head out of the sand and stop being so damn arrogant, I think they're going to continue to lose interest. I think they're going to continue to lose fans, viewership. And sports like the English Premier League, I think the NRL do it well, I think the AFL do it well, are just going to continue to grab even more and more market share.
I'd have to agree with you there, Mark. You're bang on there. Well, obviously, this morning, the Sale GP Grand Final, an exciting race, but Australia have won the Sale GP Grand Final by 6 seconds to New Zealand, and Great Britain were third. Well, you probably had the three best helmsmen in the sports there, and Tom Slingsby, Peter Berlin, and Sir Ben Ainslie. Really, I enjoy the Sale GP, Mark. I just feel it's good. It's fleet racing. The boats are fairly even. I don't know what your feelings are about it.
Yeah, look, I initially wasn't a big fan. I felt that it was sort of done out of spite a little bit by Sir Russell Coutts in regards to trying to come up and, I don't know, challenge or modernise or rival the America's Cup. There's no point. The America's Cup is the America's Cup. You're never, ever going to somehow just stifle the history that goes with that, and it's so unique. But I think what you sort of said, I agree with. It's the fleet racing that appeals to me, the fact that you've got all these boats out on the water, really, really small percentages, tight racing, and it's to find out who the fastest boat is under pressure, and you've got to get off the line quickly. It's legitimacy in terms of what it all means when it's all said and done. My concern is that, say, if Russell Coutts one of the co-founders there, the owner of Oracle.
Larry Ellison, yeah.
Larry Ellison, you know, they pull their money out. Does this thing still survive? Can this thing still survive? And, you know, the great sporting events exist because
and there's enough commercial interest and they just happen, whatever, but this is very much, you know, a private venture. And so is it manufactured? You know, if New Zealand was to win it, do you put them in the Halberg discussion? I don't, because I think it's good entertainment, but I just probably struggle at the moment with its legitimacy.
Okay, Max Verstappen had won the Formula One today, but I'm going to get on to this, and I left this last part of our email, the great stadium debate. Now, recently seen in the paper, there was in the Herald, there's plans to put a roof on Eden Park, and then there's another group wanting to build a waterfront stadium. Personally, when it comes to a waterfront stadium, my views are it should have been part of the 2011 World Cup. I feel it's over, but there's still some support. Is it worth the money to improve these facilities, Mark? Is it worth having a waterfront stadium, or do we improve Eden Park? Because I'm just going to say this just from a, you know, playing devil's advocate here. I like Eden Park only because I live close to it, and I know a lot of people, especially overseas rugby fans, they still see it as the mecca of rugby in the Southern Hemisphere. I don't know what your opinion is on this one.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's great that I understand. I've been overseas. I know the romance, particularly the French, have towards Eden Park, but what, we host two All Black tests a year and you fill up the stadium. Outside of that, I think Chris Rattu from the New Zealand Herald once summed it up best. It's a cemetery with chips a lot of the time. It just doesn't, and you know, over the weekend was another great example. Very, very empty for the Moana Pacifica game. And I think with where things are at, it's got to be more multi-purpose. It can't just be rugby these days. I would like to see the waterfront stadium more because I believe in cities being progressive. I think if you had a multi-purpose facility on the Auckland's waterfront, with what they've done in Wynyard Quarter, with what they've done and what they're trying to do down there on the waterfront, I think you would get greater patronage. I think that it would be a shop window for some other sports, a great concert venue as well, and I think it would just bring a real vibe and a sense of inclusivity into Auckland. I mean, Eden Park, where it is based at the moment, look, it's basically dumped in the middle of a very wealthy, now expensive suburb. I don't think it's that easy to access. I don't think parking's particularly great. I think it's got a lot better since the 2011 Rugby World Cup. I think there is a legacy in terms of it. So I love my history. I love my tradition. I'd hate to see, say, Liverpool's Anfield ever shut down, but, you know, that's supported every week. That's, you know, that's become a part of the brand. Where Eden Park, yes, it's very much, it's become very much a fortress for All Black teams and historically Auckland teams as well, but I'm not sure that is enough to continue this thing to lose money and continue to sort of have ratepayers propping it up. And really, what do we need the roof for? I'm just trying to work out, are we playing tennis? What do we actually need the stadium roof for? Is that what's preventing people from going? I'd argue it's probably the lack of quality entertainment during games. I'd argue that it's the lack of quality food, the price of entry, and just the general game experience, I think is the greater issue. I don't think it's so much weather related. So, yeah, look, I'm on this one. I'm for a waterfront stadium.
Okay, well, we may be on cross purposes, but I do see your point. Well, we might as well wrap it up as we head towards 2 minutes to go. Mark, I have to say, I really enjoyed the Māori Cup call, one of the best calls in New Zealand sports, and it's always great having a chat to you, and I hope the rest of your week goes fine. I see you're on ACN tonight, so I'll be listening, so I hope you have a good show.
Can I just say on the Māori Cup, if you haven't watched it, look, the sound was awful that we were dealing with. I wasn't that happy with any of that, but people seem to have liked it. But watch one of the great races. Very rarely do they build something up, and, you know, eight wonderful teams, but everyone's saying, look, Hamilton, St. Bede's, this is where we think it's going to go, and it ended up going that way, and it was separated in the finish by 1/500th of a second, which, you know, it's unbelievable in one of the great trophies in secondary school sports. An absolute privilege to actually call it. So, yeah. Hey, thanks, mate. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much, Mark. And you know, and we'll talk again in a few weeks' time. Have a great rest of the week, Mark. Thank you very much.
Cheers, bud. See you, mate.
That was Mark Watson. Well, we'll just go to the outro music. I want to thank everyone for listening in. It's great to be back. So we'll see you all the same time, same place next week.